Morning, everyone. As many of you know, I'm graduating in a little under a month, and this past week I've been fortunate to be part of two fantastic events to conclude my McGill experience. The first one here, this 50th anniversary conference, but then another one which was a little bit more personal was the EBOS Student Research Day. At Research Day, we had three awards that we handed out. The first was for the poster competition. These are the posters that you saw out in the lobby over the past today and yesterday. And our winner for the poster competition was Sonia Grandy for her poster, which was Hypertensive Disorders in Pregnancy and the Risk of Incident Cardiovascular Disease. We also had multiple presentations throughout the day, and it is my privilege to announce the first winner. Well, we announced them last week, but to present the first winner, which was the master's presentations. And so we have Rhiannon Kampstra, who will be giving a presentation on healthcare utilization in immigrants and non-immigrants with chronic hepatitis C in Quebec.
Hi, so I'm really happy to be presenting some of my research for you today. So I'll just jump right in and introduce a little bit of context about hepatitis C. So hepatitis C virus, it causes acute infection. In most people, this is asymptomatic, and in most people, it also persists to a chronic form of infection. People that have chronic hepatitis C have a very high risk of developing very serious liver disease later in life. This can include complications like cirrhosis or scarring of the liver, and a very mortal or fatal form of liver cancer called hepatocellular carcinoma. So how do you get hepatitis C? In Canada, ongoing transmission of hepatitis C is primarily among people who inject drugs. However, before we screened for hepatitis C, blood products and medical procedures were a significant part of transmission. It's very important to note, though, that around the world, particularly in developing countries, that this is still a major contributor to ongoing infection. So I think the WHO estimates that over 300,000 cases of hepatitis C every year are related to contaminated medical injections around the world. So as you can imagine, there's a very high burden of morbidity and mortality around the world related to hepatitis C and those complications I mentioned. In Canada, this translates to about 250,000 people who are thought to be infected with the virus. And one thing that's interesting to note is that because people are asymptomatic largely until they develop those complications later in life, a large proportion of cases are thought to be undetected or undiagnosed. And this is particularly relevant in Canada, where we do not have a systematic approach to screening for hepatitis C. So this actually just is from Myers and colleagues in the literature and illustrates the rising prevalence that's expected to occur in among hepatitis C-related liver disease in Canada. So you see around 2015 here, we're reaching a sort of peak where we have a large cohort of aging people who were infected many decades ago and are just now starting to experience those complications. And this is really considered sort of a really pertinent wave of complications that are really going to have implications for our healthcare system. I think annual costs related to hepatitis C in Canada are expected to rise over 60% over the next few decades. So what do immigrants have to do with this? In Canada, a large proportion of new immigrants are from regions in the world where you have a very high prevalence of hepatitis C. And in these areas, people are more likely to be infected through routes of exposure like medical procedures or medical injections, as opposed to the injection drug use that's prevalent in domestic transmission. So it's reasonable then to think about how this population of immigrants with hepatitis C might be really different with respect to their risk factors and their overall health status compared to the rest of the population in Canada with this virus. But despite that it's easy to see how immigrants would be a high-risk group that might have sort of different considerations with respect to interventions, we don't know a lot about them. So overall, what I wanted to look at with this project, we were interested in first characterizing healthcare utilization in hepatitis C in a large Canadian cohort to inform policy and planning. We know this is a pertinent issue for our healthcare system. but also really singling out immigrants as an important and probably different group and characterizing them, something that hasn't really been done extensively in the literature at all. So this reiterates that. So the study was conducted as a retrospective longitudinal cohort study. So cases were actually diagnosed from the Provincial Mandatory Disease Reporting Database from 1998 until 2007. And we obtained healthcare utilization information for those subjects from the date of diagnosis until the end of their follow-up. And we also obtained information in the year prior to their diagnosis in order to ascertain prevalent comorbidities at that time. And so, as I sort of alluded to, we used administrative linked data for our study. So those cases from the Provincial Mandatory Disease Reporting Database, those were linked to our records in our Provincial Universal Healthcare System, RAMQ. So from there, we were able to get linked demographic information and also healthcare utilization. So this includes hospitalization data, diagnoses associated with hospitalizations, but also outpatient and physician billing codes. And in addition to this, we linked to a provincial immigration database. So for immigrants, this is where we got things like when they arrived and where they were from. So overall, we identified just over 20,000 people for our cohort between the 98 to 2007 study period. I'm not going to go into this in too much detail. One challenge that we encountered that we didn't necessarily expect was that we had a high proportion of cases that did not link deterministically with their identification number. It was about 20%, so I can't talk about this in detail, but our group did do some, not myself personally, but additional analyses, including some inverse probability weighting to examine sort of what effect this might be having on our results. So we have some reassurance there so far, but there is a possibility that we're introducing some selection bias here. So I focused on hospitalization. So when I'm talking about healthcare utilization, that's sort of what I mean. Obviously, there are many other measures of healthcare utilization. Unfortunately, my scope is limited. I'm doing a master's, but it would be really interesting to explore those as well. And we looked at both all-cause and liver-related hospitalizations. So I'll just jump right into some demographic information about our cohort. About 10% ended up being immigrants, so that translated to about 1,800 subjects. And the most common place that they originated from was in the East Asia Pacific region. This is consistent with new immigrants to Canada. A high proportion come from this area, and also maps onto a region of high hepatitis C prevalence. And one important thing to note that we found, it was interesting, was that on average, the time between when an immigrant arrived in the country and when they were diagnosed was on average about 9 years, and this could, about 10 years, and it did vary quite a bit. So this was sort of a signal to us that there's a quite a lag period of time where somebody was arriving in the country and when they were being diagnosed, presuming they were infected in their countries of origin. And so we also noted some interesting demographic differences between the immigrant and non-immigrant group. Immigrants were older at the time of diagnosis. They had a more equal gender distribution, which to me kind of says that, to me it's consistent with the high prevalence of behavioral risk factors for transmission that are in the non-immigrant population. So this is what I would expect. And that was really driven home when we looked at prevalent drug, alcohol use at the time of diagnosis and HIV, which also illustrate this higher prevalence of those comorbidities in the non-immigrant population. However, when we focused on liver-related, we saw that the prevalence of liver-related disease between the groups was very similar at baseline, with the exception of hepatocellular carcinoma, the prevalence of which was elevated in the immigrant group. So when we looked at all-cause hospitalizations, first we found that a large proportion of our cohort, most, were never hospitalized. So this is about 49% are contributing all of the hospitalizations in our cohort. And when we looked at the all-cause hospitalizations, the one signal that we saw was that non-immigrants seem to have a higher utilization. So what I mean by that is a higher proportion of non-immigrants had ever been hospitalized. The average number of hospitalizations, both per subject and per person time, were higher. So it sent a signal to us that non-immigrants were using more all-cause. And when we think about the comorbidities in that group, it kind of makes sense. And we sort of looked into this a little bit further by pulling out what are the top reasons people were going to the hospital for these all-cause hospitalizations. And in the non-immigrants, that signal was sent to us clearly. So we really had mental disorders, injury and poisoning, which could include things like a drug overdose, coming out as drivers in the non-immigrant population. But for immigrants, probably in part because they have this lower utilization overall, their utilization seemed to be really influenced by liver-related complaints. And so when we narrowed in on the liver-related hospitalizations, what was interesting about this was that we didn't see the same discordance. We didn't see that non-immigrants still had a higher rate of utilization. And this was, with all the measures we sort of looked at, we saw very similar utilization between the immigrant and non-immigrant group. And this is sort of contrary to what I would expect, given that not only do non-immigrants have these risk factors for transmission, but those are risk factors for developing liver disease, you know, at a faster rate and earlier. So these include things like male sex, HIV, and alcohol use concomitant with their infection. But we don't see higher use in the non-immigrant group. So one thing that I thought about was that, you know, the fact that immigrants are older, which is a proxy for having had hepatitis longer, longer chance for complications to develop, that this is probably a really a big driver of the similar use you're seeing between the groups that would be contrary to what you might expect. So we did some modeling to look at this using negative binomial regression, and we found with the all-cause, when we adjusted for age and sex in the population, we didn't see a change in our overall message. So we saw that, even when we adjusted for this, all-cause seemed to be elevated in the non-immigrant group. However, when we narrowed in on the liver-related, what was really interesting is that once we adjusted for age and sex in the group, we saw that this sort of this null difference, I guess, if you will, of liver-related hospitalizations between the groups reverted to what we saw in the all-cause. We saw higher utilization in the non-immigrants, lower in the immigrants. And what this points out to me is that it really suggests that the age and sex distribution is probably a big factor here. And one thing that I think also points to this is that we had that large delay between the time that someone arrived if they were an immigrant and when they were diagnosed. So overall, I think that, you know, we still have a lot of work to do, and this is ongoing, but my take-home message is that people with hepatitis C are not a homogenous group. There are great new drugs for hepatitis C. They're prohibitively expensive. We have to make really critical decisions now about who we're going to be treating or screening, and I think immigrants are an important part of that conversation. And I think that's all my time, but I'd be happy to talk about this later or in questions.